Okay, we're on still on Luke 12, 22.
We just started Luke 12, 22.
And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither the body, what you shall put on, nor cell phones. What the word is me for no, and then meramano, and that's where we get the word remember. But take no thought. Its intrinsic meaning is you've lost yourself. You've lost self-interest under any guise, even interest in the past or interest in the future. There's no you totally and completely live only in the eternal now. Your mind's job is to take you off the mercy seat, out of eternity. And you think you must. I used to think I must, because I couldn't do what I needed to do. Turns out I didn't need to do the things I thought I needed to do, because it's the Father's good pleasure to give us all things. Yeah. But, again, the humility is so great that it doesn't interfere where you are. So the moment you think you have to do things, then you're back just another Gentile. Everybody understand that? Can you stop working with cause and effect for one day?
It's anti-gospel.
Hmm?
It's anti-gospel. Any movement in that direction takes you away from the moment, and the moment is life. Freedom.
It's funny. Can you stop doing it for one day? I can stop doing it in the moment, right now. Of course.
Then gravity comes.
Then, well, no, I'm not even saying that, but I'm just saying that the hilarity of that statement is like, you've got to think about the latter part of the day to see if you can do it in the latter part of the day. Do it in the now.
Get you some phylacteries.
We had a visitor last night at our the Wednesday night Bible study. He didn't know any book of the Bible was. He didn't know anything. He only read the red words, apparently, because those were the only true words. And then I tried to explain to him. He said, you don't need any other prayer than the Lord's Prayer. But he had no idea what it meant. And it was just, it's like, it was a life built on religious cliches and bumper stickers.
And besides all that, he tried to take over Bible study, too.
Oh, God. It was just disgusting.
Really, really rude.
But it was what I saw is that he had to do that because he was hurting so bad he couldn't stand to take it, to think it through. Just to I don't know if it was guilt or psychic pain or whatever it was, but he had to hold on to those cliches to save his life. It was always be happy. And I finally lost it. But
it makes me think how some people really think religion will save them. Because it's got the whole book, got the name, got the procedures, and they think that's salvation.
Well, it's no different than Judaism or Islam or Shinto or any of them. They all,
yeah.
It's just common ordinary religion.
Yeah.
and it means nothing. God doesn't even see it. That's what the funny part is. He cannot view iniquity.
One thing that was such a stood out as an example is that just how much it blocks our religious thoughts or whatever, block anything, any true revelation coming in.
Yeah.
Just a huge wall
back in Jericho.
We've seen that here, I think.
Yeah, we've seen it here quite a bit.
Well, let's just review the. Let's go to Matthew 6. Anybody remember what John said yesterday? He's starting to believe that maybe I don't think.
Did John teach yesterday?
Huh?
John Rutledge?
John Bojo.
Oh.
What he said yesterday morning.
Oh, I've been hearing
it. I think the reason he's now beginning to be convinced that I don't think is all the stupid things I say and do, and that I would never normally say.
I don't like the structure of this. I don't.
Well, then,
because it's too confined. I don't think you got a universe of concepts of thought, and then to say I don't think.
What do you mean? What's the universe? If this thing is the evil one, why would you pay any attention to it?
Well, that sounds good. And how could I say I won't? But that doesn't address the real thing of saying I don't think, which I think you do think. In certain areas, you do think.
Give me one.
Your crossword puzzles. You try and deny that. But
I don't think about it. I just do it. If I can't do it, I don't do it.
But the process of doing it is having to use your noodle to come up with the thing. That's thinking.
But no, to me, thinking is when you leave the moment.
Okay, well, that better defines what you're talking about. Because I don't think doesn't express to me what you're trying to have others understand.
Well, it didn't express to Harry either until 3 months
well,
before
then
he died.
Your fault.
Well, I don't have any other words. I don't know how to ever, any way of saying it.
I'm trying to break through something here because this is just too fundamental to not broaden its the way to understand what it means to say I don't think. Now, leaving the moment has a little meat to it, to me. If you leave the moment, then you're off into that cause and effect, let's say.
I've always thought, when you said you didn't think, that I always believed you from the standpoint of that you aren't consumed or spend time with reliving tomorrow.
No, I respond to that whatever is there in the moment. I don't think about it. If I see a need, I either take care of it or ask somebody to do it. I don't think about it.
What do you do when absolutely nothing's going on?
Normally I pray.
Because you think somebody might need it?
No, because that's the only thing there. And if somebody's brought to mind, then I pray for them. Many times, probably more than praying, is I sing the Psalms of Ascent or the Hallel internally. But I mean, you can't. I'm sure if I thought about things, I'd be able to explain things better. But it says, take no thought.
For what you shall eat, drink, or wear.
And that's the fundamentals.
Yes,
that's the basis of life. It's tautological. If you don't take thought for the things that keep you alive, you don't think about thought for anything else.
Doesn't it say right after that, maybe that's somewhere else, I'd rather you prophesy.
No,
that's Corinthians 13.
Above all things, my brethren, I would that you prophesy.
Yeah.
And prophesying, remember, it just means it's the bubbling. Whatever's there, you say.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean what you say is going to have great meaning. It means that you're getting rid of the blockage that's kept you from seeing and reeling and living.
Right.
You got many. Most people have a bunch of dead elephants that have dammed the flow. Remember, the emptiness of Christ, the mind of Christ, is so that the channel is clear between him and the Father. The emptiness in us is so that channel is clear between us and him and the Father. So there's no more us in the whole mystery of communion with God. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything of this world. Many times it's revelation. I see something more clearly than I've ever seen it. But it's not about, I don't think about it. I search the scriptures and do the word studies in Greek and Hebrew because I want to make sure, I was trying to find a loophole for take no thought, among many other things that I didn't like. But don't you understand, when you pay attention to your thoughts in the slightest, then you're by God's definition, you're worshiping the mind, the evil one, the beast. Because you're giving importance to the beast. And the subtlety of the beast is that, and it's a subtlety of the snake, is that you have to take thought for your life in order to stay alive. And I'm saying to you, if that's where you are, then at least admit it. And say, Father, I don't know what else to do. It seems like I have to do this in order for me to do my job. But don't justify it. And I'm talking to everybody. It's not, there's no gray area here. It's just take no thought for your life. Abandon yourself. Divorce yourself from you. This evil one is simply a nuisance that 99.9999% of the time I pay absolutely no attention to what this thing says. And when the moment I pay attention to it, I say, Father, forgive me. But I certainly have never used it to understand Scripture. I mean, I don't have enough education or intelligence to understand Scripture without total and complete repentance. If there's something I didn't understand, I didn't go try to figure it out. I said, Father, forgive me.
But you search Scripture.
I was trying to prove it was wrong, what I saw.
Isn't that appropriate?
Well, it's appropriate so that you are fully persuaded that what this thing and whatever revelation you've had and what you've, that is correct, yes, that's appropriate. You have to be fully persuaded that it's right. And the more you're fully persuaded that's right, the more you're fully persuaded this thing is bullshit. It's a whore.
Ooh, yeah.
Let's read it again. Just go to Isaiah 57. Start in verse 1. Isaiah 57. The righteous one perish, is what it says. The righteous one perisheth. Because you've got him in prison. The righteous one perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his upright. But now, change the subject. Now about you. But draw near hither, you sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourself? Against whom do you make a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks? Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured out a drink offering. Thou hast offered meat offerings. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a high and lofty mountain, or really a high and lofty high place is what it says, hast thou set up thy bed. Even there wentest up thou to offer sacrifices. Behind the doors also on the posts thou hast set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. And hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. And thou wentest to the king, and it's Molech, not Melech, with ointment, and did increase thy perfumes, and did send messengers far off, and did debase thyself even unto hell. You send your messengers afar off because you're praying for something in the past or something in the future. God is only in the now. Thou art wearied in the greatness of your way, but you say not that there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine own hand. Therefore thou hast not grieved. Of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? I now will declare thy righteousness and thy works. They shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let the companies or surround your other, the guys that you've been depending on in the past, deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And shall say, cast you up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. The stumbling block is you. Your mind. It's not your brain, it's your mind. Your conscious mind is the stumbling block, is the fruit of the curse. And to use that conscious mind for anything is blasphemy to the Father. Until you see that, the fear of God won't penetrate you, and you'll continue on using your mind and do it with impunity. And you think it's the only way. It's the only way to maintain what your idolatry is.
Yeah, what else does the mind do but look for an idol? Or make one?
And if you don't have one, you'll make one in 2 seconds. So when you say to me, I don't believe you, then I have a problem. Because you called me a liar. And if you think I'm a liar, then you should run from me.
That's ridiculous.
Well, you said I don't believe you.
I don't believe what you say. I don't think. That's just too confined as a concept.
Let's go to second. We just read it.
I know we're working on it.
Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Right. verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. And we beseech you, brethren, by the coming or presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming. Remember, coming is this word, parousa, and translated either coming or presence. And it's the same like the word afkumen or fikumen. It either means he is coming or he's here. I believe he's here. I believe in his presence is here. I don't believe he's coming. If he's not here now, from your standpoint, he never will be. And that's the fear of God, has to penetrate this thick walls of Jericho, the city of fragrance, or really prayer. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. And yet for 40 years, that's all I've preached. And if I'm wrong...
That's not on the table.
Okay.
Let's clear this up. When I say I don't believe you...
Listen, I know that. We're going by steps. I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's not on the table. I know you believe that, or we wouldn't be discussing it.
All right.
But now watch. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I believe the man of sin, the son of perdition, was revealed 42 years ago. To me, anyway. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I believe this man of perdition, the son of sin, the evil one, has been revealed, and I believe it's me and you. There's apparently no discrepancy about that. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. He sits in the temple, showing himself he's God, because he judges for himself good and evil. That's the only one, that's the first definition of someone being as God in Genesis 3. Good and evil, right and wrong.
Which is what he entices Eve.
Right. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his presence. Now that's what has to happen in each one of us, because judgment must first begin at the house of God. The evil one must be destroyed by the brightness of his presence in you. There's no more shadows. There's no more doubt. And you know that you know that you know that you can never again use this thing. Everything has to be spontaneous. Boom. Or no boom. Above all, I would that you prophesy. You don't sit about and think about what you're going to say next or wait for the time. You say it. You have no idea what's going to come out of your mouth most of the time.
We used to attach wisdom to that, though.
No, there's wisdom and prophecy. Yeah, we attach it. It is attached because those are the two witnesses.
You don't look at a fat one. Boy, you're fat.
I go through that anyway. I haven't gotten that part down yet. I've got the prophecy down. But I believe that has to happen that way, because you can't put a governor on what you say for anything. And then wisdom steps up after you've seen your stupidity.
Yeah, it's like there's love in there too.
All right.
Yeah, respect.
And then shall that wicked one be revealed, when the Lord shall consume, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, his word, and the brightness of his presence. That has to happen in each one of us. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause shall God send strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Unrighteousness, by definition, is keeping yourself alive. Without the understanding of these scriptures, you will never know the fear of God. You never know the fear of God, there's no wisdom and there's no prophecy, because you're still protecting yourself with each sentence or trying to make yourself look good, trying to get something from somebody. And this has to be in every aspect, every minute second of your life. There can be no going in and out. You must destroy him. You must let that be destroyed by the brightness, by his word, and by the brightness of his presence in you. That which make manifest is light. You don't get rid of darkness by analyzing it. It's true, no matter how intelligent you are, how dumb you are, it only depends on if you're tired of witchcraft and the rebellion.
This 7 and 8 leading up to the brightness of his coming is like the let word is in there. You've got to stop resisting.
Amen.
And let.
And stop believing the lie.
Yeah, and in that sequence, the brightness of his coming destroys the wicked one.
But here, listen. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, they might believe a lie. The lie, and the lie is your independent self, thinking that there's the evil one and there's Christ, but I'm still in the picture. You invented yourself. You are an invention of your own mind. It's either Satan or Christ. It's not any, there's no in between. There's no neutral ground. Right, so that flesh and blood can inherit the kingdom.
Yeah, when you've resisted the truth.
That they all might be damned who believe not in the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It's great fun to play with your mind. It's just spiritual masturbation, but it's just as much fun as masturbation is. But, anyway, it goes on, let's change the subject. Can you see why I'm so adamant about this?
Yeah, but the adamant's here too, in that your simplicity doesn't express what you're trying to say. It just makes you an oddity. And then it's about you.
It has nothing to do with me.
I'm telling you what I'm seeing and what I think. And that's why I'm fighting with you about it, because it doesn't communicate to me.
Gary, look.
And I don't think it communicates to a lot of people, but they will talk back to you.
Look, Gary, I know that.
Okay.
appreciate what you're doing. I'm not asking you to stop doing it.
Fine.
But you're not going to win.
It's not about winning.
Well, it seems to be. Okay. How long did it take us to
How's
get...
That?
How long did it... I don't care about winning.
Well,
look, that was prophecy. I didn't mean it.
Well, I prophesied back.
All right. That's good. That's what's called dialogue instead of monologue.
Right.
But... I've been preaching the same thing. No time. The total and complete depravity of the mind. That not even visited for a second for anything. For 40 years. I haven't said anything different for 40 years. Now this is what blew Harry away. And what finally got him at the end. Because as you know, he would... tape everything. I didn't want him to tape any Bible studies, remember. Mm-hmm. But he finally convinced me in 84. And he started taping. But I didn't know it. He was going back and hearing and checking and taking notes on everything I said. And the reason was he was trying to find an inconsistency. And if he said if he had found one inconsistency, he would have left. Now, I'm asking you, in 40 years, have you heard me say anything different than what I've said this morning? Well, I don't know, you haven't been here 40 years, but pretty near 40 years.
I've been together close. No, you're very consistent.
Well.
But.
And it's, but let me ask one other thing. Is it consistent with what the scriptures say?
Only if I understand what you're saying. If I don't understand what you're saying,
well, let's
about,
take this thing
then
about.
It doesn't jive.
Okay, well, let's just do this one now. We've done it. All we right. did it about time for many, many years. All
right.
Now let's take this one about take no thought.
Obviously, it says take no thought.
Right.
Okay.
So where is the wiggle room in that? Where is something that doesn't communicate?
Well, what you're saying then is you have been perfected.
No, I say I repent when I do.
Okay, so when you do, obviously then you do.
But
so
the,
you repent,
of course.
Okay, but you say I don't.
I don't think, oh, okay. 99% of the time, I don't think.
That's clearer to me is when you say, hey, I 99% of the time, I don't think. But to say categorically, I don't think. I mean, that's...
Okay, I grant you that. I grant you that. I'm not saying and claim I have no perfection, as you can obviously see.
Right.
But, forgive me for not saying.
Yeah.
But I, it's not 100%, but it used to be like
5%. Yeah, I can see that. And I think
and then I had to say, Father, forgive me 1,000 times a day.
Yeah.
Now it's maybe 2 or 3 times a week. That doesn't mean I'm improved. I just know my own evilness. I know this thing is evil, therefore I don't pay attention to it.
It's,
unless it gets me
yeah.
on something that's a need.
Yeah. It's like we said 20 years ago in Waco, or at the lake, we repent quicker.
Yeah.
We don't give way to thinking. We've seen the foolishness of it, and it doesn't lead to anything.
Right.
And it, and once you have that knowledge, you're steeped in it, then you resist this evil. But
you don't resist it right away, though.
Sometimes, yeah.
Because a part of it you like.
Exactly, and it's probably the strong deception. It's sweet. And, but you fail again, and you know eventually you wise up. And
that's all he's asking us to do is wake up.
Yeah.
Awake, you have fallen asleep in life. Stop chasing the vain shadows.
Yeah. And what you said at the beginning here really clicked with me is thinking takes you out of the moment. So once you understand that and you find it happening, and I don't conjure up thoughts that I know of, but I sure can recognize it when. coming just.
But I want you to see that that's why that Ray Perusa is so important. Our presents are coming. Oh, it's Thursday. It must be Stella. There she is. But I want you, instead of reading that coming from now on, read it presence, and because it does mean the same thing. Perusa, where it says brightness of his
presence,
where it says the
coming of our Lord Jesus, chapter 2, verse 1.
Yeah, the coming in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I promise you, when Paul wrote that.
Yeah, I can see the third angle, the same thing magnified.
Well, it's not the same, because the presence, the coming gives you time. I wasn't talking about Jackie, I was talking about Stella. All right.
Another kiss a dog.
I would like, the one takeaway this morning is that when you see the word coming in the New Testament, remember, I'm talking about his coming of Jesus, just know that you, with a certainty, that it means presence. It's like when you take the bread and the wine, the afikum and the rafkum, either can mean he is coming or he is here. That's what the true word means, not after meal. The Jews invented that. Now, the afikumen means it can be translated either he is coming or he is here. So when we take the bread and the wine, stop thinking about he is coming, he's here.
So afikumen is kind of the same word as perusa in Hebrew, right?
Well, there's a long story that takes 20
yeah,
minutes to
yeah,
describe.
John taught on one time it had a complicated history.
Yeah, it's a perversion.
Okay.
It's the same thing where a Jewish scribe in the 11th century made up a name to call God in English, and it was Jehovah. And he just made it up so that Christians couldn't use Yahweh. Now we've got Jehovah's Witnesses.
I had this bishop that Judy's friends with told that story the other night. I mentioned Jehovah's Witnesses, and he went right into that same explanation that's a made up.
It's a made up name.
Part of what I wanted to comment on was John Bojo yesterday. I understood something about him that he genuinely does process information in a different way, which I know we all do. But he was very dramatic in his expression.
Yeah, he's using his mind.
Yeah, the mind is good.
But that's, if that's necessary, then that's necessary.
Yeah.
But it would speed up his destruction of rebellion if he would always talk what he's saying.
Yeah.
And it would help the Bible study.
It helps everybody.
It does.
But you can't make him do it.
No, I can certainly try. We're not going to stop trying. You ought to hear our private conversations.
Yeah.
If you can imagine what they might speak.
Great.
Well, I bet he's.
Well, no, it's me kicking his ass.
Yeah.
All right, take it, big guy.